Welcome to the Cleveland Public Library's Sports Research Center and our conversation with St. Ignatius head football coach, Chuck Kyle. Chuck was promoted to head coach of his alma mater in 1983 after 10 years as an assistant coach. Over the next 30 years, he compiled the greatest high school football coaching record in Ohio history. His St. Ignatius teams won 11 state football championships and qualified for the state playoffs in 24 of the last 25 years. Chuck sat down with us on May 21st, 2013, finding time between his English class and a track practice. Yes, he was still teaching English and coaching the track team. He was also preparing for his 31st football season. His football record after 30 years was 301 victories, 69 losses, and one tie. Chuck, thanks for joining us.
It's
today.
A pleasure.
We're talking to Chuck Kyle, head football coach, St. Ignatius High School. We're doing this in the spring of 2013. And by the time our library fans are listening to this, well, I know that your numbers are going to change. But at this point in your career, and who knows when it's going to end, I don't think you have any plans to end it. Your career record is 301 wins, 69 losses, and one tie. You've won 11 state championships and three national championships. You've been coach of the year, state, national, multiple times. And you've also been, as the track coach, you won a state track championship. But now, mostly you rewrote the state of Ohio football record books. And I'd like to begin in the 19... Well, first of all, your first year was at Ignatius as head coach. Head coach was...
1983.
And so in 1988, you began changing the football scene in the state of Ohio. You won your first state championship. Your first great quarterback was Joe Pickens. Would you tell us about him and then take us through your state championship years and the great quarterbacks that you've had, because Ignatius has been known as a quarterback school.
Well, it's right there, that conversation, what you're talking about, had a lot to do with why we won state championships, I really believe. When I took over as head coach, we'd never been in the playoffs before. I think we had a great history of football when we were in the Senate, playing in the charity games over the years with Brian Dowlings and Ray Kabakis and all these great players. And of course, I'm the youngest of four boys, so I was at all those charity games that the Kyle family would shoot down their Thanksgiving to see it. When I was became head coach, I felt we needed to take advantage of the type of kids we work with. We're a college prep school. Our kids are smart. We weren't always the biggest group of guys. There were times maybe we got out-physicaled. So we had to improve on that idea, and the weight room needed to get better and get stronger so we could compete that way. It was no longer the Senate. It was an independent schedule, and that was a big step up. That happened a few years before I became head coach. So, but I wanted to throw the ball. I wanted to do something a little bit more than, let's be honest, Woody Hayes has a strong influence on the state of Ohio.
Yes.
And Woody Hayes was the three yards and a cloud of dust. Bang, bang, pounded it there. And so that was kind of the way football was. Some people would throw it around a little bit, but really it was still Ohio football. You got to pound and pound and pound.
Well, and you didn't believe in that.
I'm a running back. I was a running back at St. Ignatius High School. But I thought we had to maybe try to do something a little bit different. If everybody's going to load up on the run, we have some pretty sharp kids, and I think we have kids that enjoyed the idea of the complexity of the patterns and the reads and so on. You have to read the secondary, and that's what's going to tell you what's open. So we did a lot of research. The day I was named head coach, I walked up to the Spanish floor, and my good friend from John Carroll, Nick Restifo, was coaching with me, and I go, Nick, you'll be the first offensive coordinator in the history of St. Ignatius High School. And as we sit here today, he still is the only offensive coordinator at St. Ignatius High School history, because we've worked together for 30, 31 years now. And I said, we're going to throw the football. And he got excited about that. So now there's Howard Schellenberger at that point with Bernie Kosar and all those people. Let's study what he did. There were people that threw the football. And we wanted to come to a better understanding of how we could take advantage of the fact that in Ohio, it's an eight-man front every time, every game you play against. Okay, let's try to do something that the eight-man front isn't too happy about. So we started to do that. And I think that opened up, when you say quarterbacks, I think kids that wanted to be the next Bernie Kosar said, hey, Ignatius does throw the football a lot. Let's take a look and go to their games. And we were getting better. We had some exciting games. As you mentioned, Joe Pickens. Joe Pickens was St. Thomas More. Great school, along with Mark Ruddy and the Pellegrino family, and a number of guys that were just good CYO program. Every year, Thomas More would be a great program, but they ran the single wing. Oh yeah, they ran the single wing. So to sit there and say we knew, well, Joe Pickens was going to be some dropback quarterback. They ran the single wing. Really? I don't know, he threw it maybe once a game or twice in CYO. But you could tell he's a good athlete. And so he and all those guys came to St. Ignatius High School, and there's this guy, a quarterback, was a good baseball player. He loved baseball, but he could throw. And so here we go. When we started working on it freshman year, and certainly.
Well, how did you discover that he could throw? Just throwing it around in a gym class or in the tryouts for the freshman team? You saw it throw
right,
it on the sidelines?
To be honest with you, it's okay. Who's going out for quarterback?
Oh, it was going out for, okay.
Okay, because and then there's about 20 guys all show up. They're ready to sling it around the park. But here's this pretty tall kid. And you're seeing how it comes out of that release. And you're
going, so he wasn't picked. He volunteered.
I want to try it. And so, sure. And it didn't take you long to go, yes, this kid has a future. He could do it, because with his baseball, you could tell he had a good core in using the hips, all the technical things you'd expect a thrower to do. A little different throwing a baseball or football, but that's just the release. And he's Ryan, an intelligent young man, a very successful lawyer right now down in Columbus. He had some good guys to throw to. So sure enough, we saw this coming up. As they went through, they never that class as they were on the varsity never lost a game. They won their freshman year. They won their JV year. They never lost a game in their 4 years. So Peter Fitzpatrick was the running back, tough guy from St. Anne's. So most of the conversations that took place those years was, what if Thomas More played St. Anne's? CYO football lasts in their memories forever. Yes. So it was always St. Anne's versus Thomas More. What a game it would have been. They were in different divisions or something. And so
1988, you were in the playoffs. Now let me tell you this little story. The spring of 1988, I'm at the Ignatius Hall of Fame dinner at the University Club. And I had a friend going in, and I happened to sit at a table with Father Welsh. And I had had way too many beers that afternoon.
Well.
And so I expound to Father Welsh, I'm just tweaking his nose a little bit. I say, do you know, Father, there's only three Catholic schools in northeastern Ohio that have never been in the playoffs? And he said, yes, who are they? And I said, Beaumont, Magnificat, and St. Ignatius. That was the spring of 1988.
Timing is everything.
You're right. And I have thought about that, and I get embarrassed every time I think about that moment.
So the good father hasn't come up to you ever?
No, but hopefully he forgot that.
Okay, all right.
But that fall, you go into the playoffs. And so would you pick up the...
Sure. We knew we would be pretty good, because the class is coming up, and That group of kids, Joe and Mark Ruddy and the Pellegrinos and all those guys.
You didn't, Mark Ruddy. They were juniors. Joe Buddy.
No,
I mean, Mike Buddy. There was a Mike Buddy.
Okay,
Buddy,
yeah, on. Mike Buddy. I'm Mark Ruddy and Mike Buddy. We got some rhyming going
yes.
on there. Mike Buddy was a senior with that group.
Okay.
Okay. And Mark Ruddy and Joe, they were juniors for the 88 team.
Okay.
So we knew it would be pretty yeah. good. And I do credit, the captains. We had some great captains. We had Dale Williams, who went on to be a starting center for West Virginia for 3 years. He was one of the captains. And Mark McCain, who went on and played football for 4 years at Yale. Mm-hmm. They were our captains, and they believed we could win a state championship. We had never made the playoffs before.
Right.
And those kids said, we can win a state championship. We could win a state championship. Well,
that's the time
I didn't
now.
I didn't want to argue them out of that.
Yeah.
Okay? I was you bet we can. Sure can. But we got to work. Don't just, words are cheap. We got to, I'm sitting there. We haven't even made the playoffs. What are these guys talking? But okay, let's go. Let's work. And they really did. They were well organized. And the weight room, we Marty Einan. St. Ed's grad,
yes,
but
right.
I got to know
yes.
him, and he, yeah. He yeah. really worked to yes. organize our strength
yes.
program,
yes.
and he helped immensely in helping these
yeah.
kids, develop. And there we go, we made it through the regular season,
yes.
undefeated. We're in the playoffs. We'd never been there before, and
now
here
back
we go.
Then, just to get into the playoffs, you had to go undefeated because
it was very close to that.
Only four from each region,
right. And it was chancy if you lost one or two games.
Yeah.
In fact, to be honest, there were some years where we went 9-1 and we didn't make it.
Yeah.
Previous
right.
to that.
Yes.
Which is the way it was. That's mm-hmm. life, So anyway, made it in we had to play Robert Smith for the second time.
That's right.
First time we beat him at Euclid.
Uh-huh.
I think it was the second game of the year.
And
second
that
game
was,
of the year.
And by the way,
televised.
That was a national television
right.
game.
One of the first ones. Yes, it was. It was one of the first ever
uh-huh.
high school game nationally televised because
yes.
they had the All-American,
yes.
Robert Smith, and
yes.
he was very good.
Yes.
And they knew we had a good team, and so sure enough, that was nationally televised. And we played really well. We won. It was a good football game. And we had to after the first round, second round, I think we had to play Euclid again.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, we figured it out one time. Now we have to do it again. But the kids played really, really well, and we did beat them. Close score. I think it was 20-0 or something like that. We could look that up. But at one point we were up. We were up. How was it? We had a fake field goal. It was kind of a turning point.
Wow.
You walk out there, and if we kicked the field goal, we were only going to be up by 13. That was it.
Wow.
We were only going to be up by 13. And I'm walking out there, and Robert Smith, and you're up by 13. I still don't like it.
That's not enough.
It's not enough. Because that's just two runs for him.
Uh-huh.
That's two breakaways, right? And I didn't think that was good. So we're walking out there, and we just go, hey, fellas, hey, let's fake field goal. What do you think? And there was this quiet, because it's a big game. And then you go, fellas, we didn't just come here to goof around. Let's go to win, huh? And they go, yeah, let's do this. Okay, so we do the fake field goal, and we complete it. And
mm-hmm.
All right, now we're up by 17. Whew, okay, that was better. So we did win 17-0. And,
then,
we move along.
Then the next week you go to Toledo.
Right. Our home game, by the way.
Your home game?
Yeah, it was our home game. We were the home team playing Toledo Whitmer in Toledo.
In the glass ball.
Right. So they got up out of bed that morning and drove 10 minutes down the road or whatever, and
yes.
we had to drive all the way up. But just the way the bracketing worked, we were the home team, but we were playing. And that was our first year, so we're like, how can we be the home team? We're playing in Toledo. But, since then I've kind of gotten the idea of how it works, okay? It doesn't really matter. So all it did was, you wore your blue jerseys and they wore their white anyway. So, right, a very good Toledo Whitmer team.
And that was the state semifinal.
That's correct. Yeah.
Now, Alan Davis from Channel 5 went in your locker room before the game, and he videotaped for a piece he did on Channel 5 your pregame speech, Be a Legend. that made you a famous figure statewide. That was a terrific pregame speech. Can you reflect on it? Do you remember what you said?
Yeah, sure. I actually mentioned that idea weeks earlier.
Oh.
But you bring the whole season with you, okay? I mentioned that one, like I said, weeks earlier. We were already 6-0 or whatever, and we're playing another good football team.
Yes.
And it was important for the kids to realize how this could be, what could happen. Because, you know, how kids are, it's okay, today I have homework, tomorrow I got this. Okay, but let's project a little bit.
Was that a reference to the 64 team with Brian Dowling?
Yes, very much so. Because they would walk down the hallway and they'd see that great 60 picture of the 64 team.
Yes.
And how people always will talk about them and the legends that were.
That's right.
And so it was just a
and
thought.
To refresh our listeners why the 64 team was a legend, a 10-0 team won the charity game before a crowd. That team attracted 41,000 people to the stadium for the charity game, and that 64 team beat Benedictine 47-6, I believe, in the charity game. And that was called possibly the greatest St. Ignatius football team of all time to that point.
Right.
And so now you reflect on them.
Right. It was just something at the end of practice going, you know, fellas, you walk down that hall, and there are those legends up there.
Yes.
Fellas, grab what could be here. You could be a legend. You can be a legend, fellas, if you want to be. Huh? To be a legend, you could be that. And then it's the state championship semifinal game. So I did want to bring that back because who remembers the losing team in the state semifinal game? They had a good season, but nobody remembers you, you know. You got to make it to the big show. So I did bring that back up. Fellas, today.
And it was a very emotional pregame speech.
Right. It was just talking about outside that door is your destiny. Mm-hmm. You know, it's your destiny right outside this door. And if you want to be that legend, to be the legend, we got to take care of 45 minutes right outside that door, fellas. So let's do this thing the right way, huh? Let's be a legend. Let's go. And we proceeded to drop the opening kickoff and fumble it. And, so I don't know how often a great pregame speeches help or not. We fumbled the opening kickoff, landed on it, fortunately, on the 2-yard line. Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe I made them too nervous. But we drove 98 yards for a touchdown. So that everybody went, okay, this is a good one. This will be a good one. And
Who was that you beat? Toledo Whitmer?
Toledo Whitmer.
Whitmer,
right.
Yes.
Right.
They're their own little legend up in Toledo.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they're a good football team. Good football team. But they were a running team, and we could throw. And that, it was 14-0 at the end of the first quarter.
Really?
28-0 at halftime. What are you going to do if you're a running team and you're down 28-0 at halftime? You got a little bit of a problem. So we were feeling great, and they were going, big time problem. So.
Yes.
So, you know, you just gain confidence because you just realize we can get this thing going and we're stopping them. And defense is feeling great.
So now offense. The next week you go to the state championship game. That was in Columbus, wasn't it?
Right.
Ohio Stadium.
Ohio State Stadium.
And what did they have, about 30,000 people for that game? Pretty good crowd, wasn't it?
Your dear friend Dick Sunt would always have an issue about how did they count the people at those state championship games. It was a good crowd.
Yeah.
But I think they announced 20, something like that.
I have a theory on how that happens, by the way. And that is that whoever promotes the game, they essentially sell the rights to, you know, the sponsoring party guarantees them a certain amount of money to put on those games. They can announce any number they want as long as the OHSAA gets their guarantee.
Hmm.
And so I always wondered about the Akron Rubber Bowl.
Right.
You know, the place there wouldn't be standing room only, and they'd announce 20,000.
Right.
Because they had guaranteed the OHSAA their amount, and so that's all they would do. Who was skimming the money? I don't know. I'm not saying anybody was skimming the money.
And there's
But there was.
There's always been.
Yes.
There was how many there yesterday?
Yes.
You got to be kidding.
And Dick Zunt
couldn't find a seat.
Dick Zunt was so skeptical and cynical. Mm-hmm. I miss him every single day.
Because he would rant and rave about
yes.
that.
Uh-huh.
That was way more than 20,000. What are they?
Here, we've digressed again.
I know we did. So what? Sorry. So, yes, we're playing Cincinnati Princeton. The previous year, they won the state championship. Uh-huh. They got a number of guys back.
Mm-hmm.
They were very good. Very established team, and it's our first trip. So, you see the movie Hoosiers, right?
Yes.
Everybody sees it. Uh-huh. 100 years from now, they should see
sure.
the movie Hoosiers.
Hickory.
Yeah, Hickory High School. You
yes.
almost feel like Hickory High School, right, as you're walking in. And anyway, you walk into Ohio State Stadium, and you're going to play a football game there, right? And you get there early, obviously, and you walk out. Let the kids get used to it, right? When you walk out there, and you swear that field is not 100 yards long. This is way more than 100 yards long. It just looks forever, you know. Like, oh my gosh. So anyway, you know, we got to get over that, and so kids get warmed up, I think we have the right mental attitude. Mike Buddy, I'll tell you a little quick vignette. You know, these are good for vignettes, right? Mike Buddy goes on to pitch for the New York Yankees.
That is right.
And the Brewers. Mm-hmm. I will say the last football he ever caught in his life, he swears, is the winning touchdown in the state championship football game. That's the last football. He even told me that day, that's it, coach. It's the last football I'm ever going to catch. That's it.
Was that the 10-7 game?
Right. We win 10-7 as this progression, this whole
yes.
game goes on. But anyway, I think we're ready to play and everything. And I will honestly say this. I think we surprised Cincinnati Princeton on how fast we were, our speed, because my whole secondary was my track team.
Really?
The relay teams and hurdlers and so on.
Really?
They were that was my track team. And they ran the state championship. 6 months later, the tailback yeah. wins the state championship in the 100-meter dash.
Really?
And he runs out of the backfield, right down the sidelines, first series of the game. And they're just going to throw it over to him and let him just run down the sidelines. And our high hurdler picks off the ball for interception because he ran step for step right with
really?
The kid. And suddenly the game plan was a little bit different because we can run with you. And so that kind of shocked them. Now, I really, to this day, believe that because we had fast guys. I mean, that was our 4x1, and that was our 4x4. I mean, that was the secondary out there. We could run. But it was a really nice, hard fought football
yes.
game. We were losing at halftime. We scored first. We kicked the field goal. And we were up 3-7. But right before halftime, we actually threw an interception. Joe got scrambled and he was a kid, and some kid picked it off, ran for a touchdown. So we're down 7-3. So, okay, but we're playing well. It's okay. We'll do a couple little adjustments on offense and so on. And early fourth quarter, we mentioned this earlier. We had a little drive going, and Joe saw a blitz. They were coming out of the secondary. They were coming up, so it was going to be one-on-one with Mike Buddy on the outside, and Joe saw it coming. So he took it, and it took the snap, and wheels 1-2-3, and there's Mike Buddy breaking, and he hits Mike right in the hands, and Mike's a pretty strong kid. State championship wrestler.
That's right.
And the defensive back's a little off balance. He tries to tackle him. Mike steps right out of the tackle and runs for a touchdown.
So, how long was that play?
Oh. Look it up, but I thought it was 40.
Something like that, yes.
Six, something like that.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was
yeah.
like 90.
Yeah.
You know, I was a cheerleader, you know, running, please, please run, you know. So anyway, you're in the fourth quarter, and we're up. Are you kidding? We're winning. Yeah. But it was pretty dramatic. I mean,
yes.
For the next series, we drove, and there was a penalty. And then they – well, with the last 5 minutes of that game were historical. It really is. Cincinnati Princeton drives down the field. I mean, they're hitting some nice little swing passes, and they're running their option. And this is just a matter of history. People can look it up. We have the film still, a video or whatever, if people want to look at it. with with 1 minute and 20 seconds to go, Cincinnati Princeton makes a first down. It was fourth down. They went for it and got a first down, a foot away from the goal line.
Really?
Now, the guys upstairs say, hey, they're on the one-yard line. They were making me feel good because it was not the one. It was the foot, as the videos would show.
Well, they went for it instead of kicking a field goal
right.
to tie it?
Right. They decided to go for it, and they made it. But they burned two timeouts to do that, to make that decision. So they had no more timeouts left. Okay, so as soon as they set the ball, clock starts going. Well, on first down, you know, when we're in our goal line defense, and the interesting thing is, in the playoffs, we had never been forced to be in our goal line defense on film.
Really?
They did not know what our goal line defense was because you traded the playoff films. Well, we never used our goal line defense. So we come out in our goal line defense. It was a little different. It was a seven-man package with some various little rotations. And so I think the quarterback wasn't sure how he was going to read how to dive and what is an option, right? So the first down play, he takes the snap, and we get a real good surge, and he actually bobbles the ball on the snap because we take a pretty good surge on him. And so he recovers it because it's on the ground. And we're sitting there going, oh, if we would have only recovered that ball. Right?
Yes.
But now it moved back to about a two-yard line, let's say. Okay. Hey, we got plenty of room now. We're in good shape. No, it was pretty close. And the clock is rolling. You know, it didn't stop, right? So they get up, and they didn't hurry. They went back to their huddle and talked. You know, what are we going to... And so they break the huddle, come up. The clock's still rolling. So they run the next play, a sweep to the short side of the field, and we string it out, and the kid goes out of bounds and gain a nothing. So they're still on the two-yard line on the left hash. There's only 16 seconds to go in the game. So they third down, so they're going to try.
And they are out of timeouts.
They are out of timeouts. So it's the third down play. And so they decide to run their option to the wide side of the field. And their tailback is the state champion 100-meter dash. So that's a little frightening. So anyway, quarterback fakes the dive. And this is kind of an important little story, to be honest with you. He fakes the dive. So in coaching, obviously the linebacker, the middle linebacker, his job is to stop the dive. Basic, pretty obvious. Quarterback pulls it out, and then your defensive end kind of forces the pitch, and then you hope your secondary, come on, get off and get their tailback. Well, we do a nice job. Fake to the fullback, fine. Our defensive end comes right at the quarterback, hoping maybe cause something. Well, kid pitched it, and here's this 100-meter dash champion going right to the wide side of the field. And this is on the film, you can see this. The kid who makes the tackle is the middle linebacker.
No.
Kareem Ingram. Started for 4 years at Colorado State. Went on to get his engineering degree at Colorado State. He makes the tackle.
He runs him down.
He ran him down from middle linebacker spot. And his job on that play was to stop the fullback. Swear to God. So for me to sit here and tell you that we coach the middle linebacker, now your job is to stop the fullback, and then after you do that, run out and get the pitch man on the play, that'd be lying, and that'd be ridiculously foolish coaching. I mean, I would fire me. You can't ask a kid to do that. You would think it's impossible. Somehow that kid could see it happening. He just saw it. He just saw it was a fake, and he just started running, and he found a little seam, and he breaks out of it, and sure enough, he tackles that kid on the 5-yard line. And the clock's rolling, and they have no timeouts. And I remember looking up, and it's like 8, 7, 6, and there's this, they're not sure what they're doing, you know, because they're not a great field goal kicking team. And then they start trying to run out there, and it's one of those 2, 1, craziness.
Game
and here's this, oh, what the heck, what am I doing here, you know? How'd that happen? You know, and it was just, and just the fact you do that the first time, then all of a sudden you realize, you know, this can be done. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's a lot of teams and athletes out there that, oh, that happens for other people. That couldn't happen for me. Couldn't happen for us. It can. You just got to work at it, and you got to believe in it.
Yeah.
But that started it. That star, and it was, and it, the fact that I always wonder, okay, what if they put it in? You know, what if they put it in down at, you know, all the work you put in, and you had a goal line, and you did,
if they
you
scored,
the,
yeah.
Yeah, they scored. What would have happened the following year? Okay. Would we have ever, you know, or would it have been, see?
Yeah.
We didn't, you know, we never get a break. You know, does that mentality kick in or not? I always thought, is that a pivotal moment?
It was a pivotal moment.
Yeah, I would say.
Because Ohio high school football changed that day. You went on to win the next year.
Right.
And you went on to win it 11 times.
Right.
And you always did it with a great quarterback.
I think kids like playing quarterback for us.
By the way, after that first game, every kid wanted to go to Ignatius. Every. So.
I don't know.
But anyway, the quarterbacks did.
Right.
And I
think they saw fun offense.
Yes.
You know, they saw the ball flying. And also, philosophically, if you're a good passing team and you're down by two touchdowns, so what?
Yeah.
We can win.
Uh-huh.
We can come back. We're going to pass the ball, go right down the field.
Right.
We'll get right back into this game.
Uh-huh.
That faith that you have, because you go, we can move the ball. Uh-huh. We can get this. We can hit them. We can get, you know, yeah. Catch the ball, get out of bounds. Mm-hmm. Practice 2-minute passing. Every level has it. We've won a lot of football games and had a lot of great play with the 2-minute drill, mm-hmm. going down the field, bang, bang, bang. Know how to do it, and know what purpose and what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives kids great faith,
mm-hmm.
and big plays can be made. You know.
So Pickens won it a second time the
right.
next year.
Yeah, that we went on to be named USA Today's national champion
in 1989. Right.
Right.
And that's when the old grads came out of the woodwork with their checkbooks.
I guess so. That department's not. That's over in the other wing now.
Their names are on the buildings.
Yeah, that's for sure. For sure. That I think that helped influence it.
Sure.
I'm being honest. I
sure.
Father
when
Wells.
USA Today does a big story on Chuck Kyle, the football coach of the national championship team, who teaches Chaucer, why?
Yes, they did.
That was a wonderful story.
You know,
and it brought all the old grads back.
You know, I still, honestly, Dan, I'm an English teacher that coaches. Uh-huh. I've always kept that mentality. I never want to lose that. You know,
uh-huh.
because to be honest with you, you know, Catholic high schools. I mean, they pay you for teaching, okay? And the other stuff's a stipend, you know?
Yeah, stipend.
Stipend, yeah. As it's called, whatever that
uh-huh.
means, okay? But, and it's been good for me. I'm not going to lie about that. It's been great, but...
But let's cover some of the great quarterbacks.
Right.
Because this was an era that is memorable. So after your next one after Pickens, who won a state championship for you?
Kevin Mayer.
I remember Kevin Mayer.
Kevin Mayer.
Yes.
Not a big guy. He was mm-hmm. probably 5'11".
Mm-hmm.
Went on to Yale and quarterbacked his senior year at Yale.
Mm-hmm.
Good field general. You know, knew what to do. Good arm. And not a cannon, but a good arm, but a good field general.
Mm-hmm.
And a tough kid. I mean, he'd run. He'd do anything. Anything he could do to get the first down.
Uh-huh.
And he'd... But kids had such faith in him.
Mm-hmm.
He had this poise about him that they knew he could handle this.
Really?
He was very good at that. And, you know, like I said, really sharp kid.
Yeah.
And really, you know, that was that state championship game was we were losing at halftime to Centerville. Well, we beat. I'll go back a previous weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We played Massillon at the Rubber Bowl,
uh-huh.
and it was packed. That was another one of those where, mm-hmm. how many people were there? I mean, you could not get a ticket.
Yes.
You couldn't get a ticket. But anyway, in Massillon, it was probably the best team in the state,
really,
talent-wise.
So?
I mean, they had two running backs that were over 1,000 yards rushing, and they were very good. And I think if you ask the Massillon people, they'd say that was a really great Massillon football team. And
who coached that Massillon team?
Lee Owens.
Lee Owens,
you know, went on and coached at Ohio State and then at Akron and then Ashland,
yes.
and has really done a great job,
yes.
in coaching. Good man.
Yes.
I always enjoyed his camaraderie.
Yes.
He's a good football man. it was just a, you know, we played a pretty good, a good, we defended them really well. That was just reflecting back on some things. We felt they were a team with the running attack. That, okay, if they're going to hit us passing, congratulations, but we've got to do something with their running attack. And what we basically picked up was if it was there was a certain guard tackle combination, and I believe it was on their right side, but I think they flip flopped. If I'm reflecting back lots of years now, but those were the guys you had to read, because either they ran towards them or those two guys would pull, and they would kind of tell you they're running with those behind those guys somehow. And so we had our safety, Dave Streeter, and Dave went on to have a tremendous career at Holy Cross. But at against Maslin that night, he had 27 tackles.
Wow.
He was on every play. He had 27 tackles because we had a certain key with the way they were going to pull certain things, and he was at the play every time. So we were kind of slowing them up a little bit in what they did, but they did take the lead late in the game, 13-7. And this is one of those stories that should be on these things. We were playing at the Akron Rubber Bowl, college goalposts.
Wider than the high schools?
No.
Narrower, I mean narrower?
Narrower than high school. 2.5 feet in both sides.
And 5 feet narrower than.
Yeah. So they score, and they kick the extra point. It hit the upright and bounced out. So they were up 13-7. And if you remember the old field that we practiced at, it was all beat up before we put the turf in.
Yes.
There was like two blades of grass on it, you know, and bumpy and terrible. Well, we had a goalpost, but for some reason over the years, I always felt, no, we're going to do college. We didn't play games there. Yeah. So I want the college, the uprights to be the narrower for our kickers. So I thought if they got to the game and said, wow, does that look, that looks so big. I can kick a meat. You know, I want just confident thing. Thank God I did that. Because our guy was used to the college goalposts. Our guy was used to it. So we, so it's 13-7. And there's 3 minutes to go, something like that. You'd have to look it up, but there's just a few minutes to go. And they kick off and they decide, we had a good kickoff return. We were always getting really good. So they didn't want to kick off long. So they kind of pooched it. And the kid didn't hit it right, so it went out of bounds at about the 40-something yard line. So we had good field position without any time going off the clock. So we kind of did a couple things, and we hit a nice little run. So we go down, right? Boom, we score. It's 13-13, and here goes the kicker out there. And it's a college goalpost. I remember walking out there. He was walking out. And, you know, I you got to be a bit of an actor, right? So I'm smiling. Going, hey, you know, hey, come on, we're going for one. And he's coming out there. I go, hey, wait a minute, come here. Hey, you're having fun, aren't you? Yeah, this is fun. Right, this is fun? Okay, go kick it, buddy. And I turn and I walk to these guys and go, I can't look. Tell me if it goes through. So I did not see it go through. I looked the other way. But, you know, that's that fun. Oh, my goodness. This is
you wouldn't look.
If we can get out of this, we're luckier. So anyway, so we win that one. And then the following week, the first half, we didn't play very well. And we were down 21-9 at halftime against the Centerville Elks. We didn't play real well. We kind of turned the ball over a few times. And so, you know, at halftime, people were a little down. And you just, when you talk about talks, I remember, okay, fellas, fine, what we're going to do to make adjustments and so on like that. And I'm not a math teacher, you know. So I was trying to be, you know, okay, we're down 21-9. All right, now, I'm not a math teacher, but I'm adding that up. We're only down by 12 points, fellas. Now, let's see. If we score a touchdown and kick the extra point in the third quarter, and we score a touchdown in the fourth quarter and kick the extra point, we win. Am I wrong? So what's the big deal? Let's go. All we got to do, we're fine. I left out the fact that we'd have to shut them out, you know. But it's just a matter of, hey, if this is going to be our greatest half of football ever in the history of our time, let's do it right now. Let's just do it right now. Let's just put this one on the field, our best ever. We may never play again as well as we're going to play in this next half. How about that? Let's go. And we shut them out, and we win 24-21.
And that was Mayer, your quarterback.
Right, right. Found a way to win. Found a way to win.
So that's your third.
That was the third. And then we proceeded from there to have five straight.
And your quarterbacks were?
Scott Mutrin.
Okay, Mutrin played in the pros.
Right, went on and went to Boston College and went to the pros. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sean Grady. A neighbor was in Lakewood.
Lakewood, I know the Sean Grady's. Yeah. His sister babysat my kids.
There you go.
Yes.
Small world.
Yes.
Okay. Sean Grady, senior quarterback, quarterbacked us to a state championship. Mm-hmm. And about 2 weeks after the state championship, said, you know, coach, I'm done with football.
Really?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
Really?
I don't need to play in college. I'm fine.
Well, God bless him.
Yeah, right. It was a guy that just realized, kept everything in perspective.
Uh-huh.
He didn't...
No ego thing with him.
I'm good. I'm going to go to college, get my degree, and do my... That's fine. I'm good with football. I had a great time. This was great. I'm done. I'm good. So he never... That was it. Jeez. Last football game he ever played in his life was winning a state championship. So that was pretty...
Not a bad way to go out.
Not a bad way to go out. And, no, I agree. It was pretty pretty good. So anyway, so then we went through those years. And,
then when did Arth come along?
Let's see. Tommy was...
Was he a little later?
Yeah, he was a little later.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't win a state championship with Tom.
Mm-hmm.
We had Dave Ragone.
Mayer and Dave Ragone went to Louisville.
Yeah, we had John Blevins, then Dave Ragone. John went on to play at Princeton.
Mm-hmm. And he won.
And we were in the state championship game, but we lost to. That was the game we lost.
No.
To Lima Senior High School. They were good.
Lima
it was kind of a shootout.
Lima had lost their second game of the season at Massillon. And then came back and won all the rest of their games.
Right. They were very good.
Yes.
It was a shootout. It was a high-scoring game.
Oh, yeah. Played on a misty evening?
Yeah, it was pretty...
I remember that game. Very misty.
Yeah. But it was a good game. But they were on fire, and they had a really good running back. And I thought we were getting pushed around a little bit. Mm-hmm. We just weren't the biggest guys. Uh-huh. You know, good technique and everything, but we had... Physically, we're having a hard time stopping them from controlling the football a little bit. But that's football, you know? I mean, you got to live with that. And then, you know, we had some good years but we didn't win it for a few years. And then.
But you still were turning out some pretty good quarterbacks.
We were good. Tommy Arth went on to the. Well, Dave Ragone went on and had a great career at Louisville.
Yes.
And then went to the pros for 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's now the quarterback coach for the Tennessee Titans.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah. So he's got a future in the NFL. In coaching, so that's wonderful. And Tommy Arth, he had a great year, and we almost beat Cam McKinley. It was a wild game, and Tommy launches one, and we're tackled on about the 4-inch yard line.
Oh, gee.
If you remember the great player Doss,
Mike Doss,
makes
in the pros,
makes a heck of a tackle.
Yes.
You know, we're going to tie the game, and he. Bam! He knocks us right. We miss it by that much. So, but Tommy goes on to play at John Carroll, and backed up Peyton Manning at the Indianapolis Colts for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he and Peyton Manning are very close.
Are they?
Because if you get to know Tommy, he loves football and he's an intelligent guy.
Yes.
And so Peyton trusted him so much,
really?
And he would go, Tommy, could you break this game film down for me. I need to know this tendency and this sort of thing. So Tommy would go do that. And then, all right, Peyton, come on, let's meet. And they'd go over. Mm-hmm. So Peyton Manning would tell him, no, you're keeping Tom Arth. Keep Tom Arth, please. I want him.
Wow.
And so he helped Tom have actually a pro career.
Yeah.
So that was kind of neat.
Nice. And now he's the head coach at John Carroll.
At John Carroll University.
Yes.
Where he played. Mm-hmm. And a good young man. So that's nice to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nice to see the young guys continuing the game. You know, there's so many other things you could do, but it's nice to see that, you know, that the game meant something to them, and they saw the value of being a coach, the teaching value of it, how kids can learn a lot about life, you know, and you can be very instrumental in doing that. I think. Well, that keeps me going. I mean, I talk more about life than I do about football, you know, a lot of times. It's just, hey, fellas, you know, when you get a little older, you'll find out that in your career, you know, I get into that quite a bit because, you know, the game does get into the idea of teamwork, gets into the idea of just setting goals, making a commitment to do things and do it right, you know, so stuff like that. So
then when did Brian Hoyer come along?
Let's see, Brian.
Did you win a state with him?
No. We had very good teams. We didn't. We won with Jeff Pantech.
Jeff Pantech, yes.
And then we won another one with his younger brother, Brian. That was 99. Mm-hmm. We won that one. And that was kind of, that year was a team that people kind of thought, what? You know, who are they? We lost a couple games in the regular season, and okay, when you lose a couple, people kind of brush you off, and we got in the playoffs, did some nice things. We were starting to come together pretty nicely, and we ended up coming through. And we were playing in the state semifinal game. We played Pickerington, and late in the game. We're up, and we're trying to control the ball a little bit and so on. And unfortunately, Brian gets tackled, and he separates his shoulder. And he's the quarterback. And we win the semifinal. We're already, you know, we're winning. And but we just, poor kid was trying to, I'll come back. But it's your shoulder. So we're like, oh, my. Here we go, right? And there's a sophomore, right? And Nate Zepp. Mm-hmm. And Nate is he's a sophomore, strong arm, classic Ignatius drop back quarterback, but he's a sophomore, right? But Nate, you're the guy. Yeah. Coming out of the bullpen, you know, bring the righty, here you go, you're in. And Nate is he's a successful lawyer right now, and, you know, he's got a young family, but Nate had a very kind of cool disposition. So if any sophomore could pull this off, this is a kid that could probably somehow pull this off, right? So you're the starter. You got to go. You got to go. And sure enough, we played Huber Heights Wayne. Two of the guys they had, Ohio State, you know, a couple other guys, MAC, their skill kids were pretty good. And we were down 7-0, and then we're getting some things going, and sure enough, just what you want to have happen happens. Nate drops back, and I'm very proud of this. My nephew, Michael Ferran, who's very successful right now in Ohio City area, running the restaurants down there. He's involved in that. He breaks on a post pattern, bam, right to him. He runs for a touchdown. We beat the Ohio State cornerback. We beat him deep.
Really?
And tie game at halftime, 7-7. Well, at that point, we're like high as a kite because we get the sophomore quarterback, and we're tied 7-7. Are you kidding me? And so we're into this thing now, and we play a great second half. And you know how you try to, at that point, okay, we don't have a quarterback, so what are we going to do? You know, here's Nate. And so we were just coming up with, before the Wildcat offense got popular, because of the situation we're in, we put in a little Wildcat thing where we actually, a guy was kind of a wide receiver, but he's quarterback, but he hurt his shoulder, so he hadn't been quarterbacking. We break the huddle, and Nate Zepp's at split end, and this other kid's a quarterback. But this kid was a good runner, so he took the snap and took off. And The first time we did it, he gets about a 20-some yard first down. And then this next time, I'll be honest with you, we're calling the play because I'm thinking field goal. You know, just we'll run this little quarterback draw. We'll put us right in the middle. We'll kick a field goal. We'll take that, you know. He breaks it. He breaks it for a touchdown. No. Before the Wildcat ever became popular, we actually just out of necessity. This was totally out, because Nate was not a runner. I mean, he was not a runner. And we just said, well, I think we can run this quarterback draw play. We'd have pretty good angles, but Nate wouldn't run it, but this other guy, you know. So it worked like a charm. We won that one. That was kind of wild and crazy, you know. And so when you say you know, the quarterback thing is certainly key, but there's other players too, you know, that come through and all these things that have happened.
Okay. How did you get into the coaching? Was this your lifelong plan or growing up? You told me once that fate sometimes often intervenes and changes your life or directs it. Well, you had a shoulder injury while playing at John Carroll.
Right. I would say I when I entered college, I thought I'd be an English major, more because I liked literature and discussing it more than anything. I was a good student, not great, but I enjoyed it more than math. I thought when I entered that I'd either be a lawyer or I'd be a teacher, coach, something like that, teaching. I thought those were the two picks. So I figured English would be a good one to go either way. Didn't take me long to go, no, I want to go education. It didn't take me long. I kind of started just figuring out on my own that nothing against the law profession, but it seemed like there were plenty of them in my class that are going to be lawyers. And then my brother was a lawyer. My oldest brother was a lawyer. So maybe that was an influence of looking at it. But once I got into college courses, and I think college professors kind of affect you, and really getting into the type of literature courses that colleges have, I found it very interesting. And so I'm going to be a teacher.
Time out. You're good. And I know what's going to happen here. That's a college coach.
I know. I'm going to just.
Who is it?
I don't know.
Just tell us who it is. It's a college coach.
Right. I don't have anything other than the number. But this is a college recruiter, definitely. I'm getting a missed call. I'll call him back. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
This is my life in May. Sorry. This is May in college recruiting.
The college recruiters called
me. I was with Lehigh University at 7:30 this morning.
Really?
Just getting information to him and transcripts and so on.
On the phone, or was he here
at
in
home,
person?
At school.
He was there.
The day before, at 7 in the morning, I was with Wake Forest.
Really?
All right, that's the way it works. Hey, when can you get there? Okay, I'll get there at 7 in the morning. Fine. And you're just getting transcripts out and giving them information about kids. That's part of what we do. And that's part of being a coach.
Yes.
And that's part of being a teacher. So that's what we're talking about.
And so
that's good.
Paul Bear Nemec is the head coach at Ignatius, and he says to you, your senior year at John Carroll,
right,
come on, do a little coaching with me. Break you in a little bit, huh?
Right.
Sort of like an intern?
Really just,
And that started it.
You know, I got to know him pretty well as I was a player.
Yes.
He was an assistant then.
Okay.
John Wirtz was the head coach.
Yes.
Then John retired, and Paul took over. And he said, well, if you want to, I'd love for you to come out and help coach. And I said, well, that's pretty interesting to do that. And when you're a senior in college, you can pick your courses. At least back then, the seniors had first pick. Right, freshman, good luck. You're going to get what's left over. I could plan my day.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take my courses more in the morning, and then by 1 o'clock, I'm pretty freed up. I'll jump in my little Volkswagen that I bought for about $600.
Uh-huh.
And I think I was really the Flintstone machine where you ran your feet. I think it was like a lawnmower engine in the back.
Yes.
That was the car I had, and I'd shoot down and start being just help out, and that's how I started getting into it. And fortunately, there was an English opening. that spring. Mm-hmm. And so I put my application in, and I'm sure Paul and a couple other people say, hey, we'd really like to have this young guy involved. Mm-hmm. So I became that, and then I'll tell you this. I walk in after I got the phone call, hey, you're hired, please come down Thursday, whatever day, uh-huh. and sign your mm-hmm. teaching contract, right? So I drive down from John Carroll. Mm-hmm. I get on. I walk into the by the Sullivan Gym, and you can picture that. There's the Sullivan Gym, and you walk down the stairs, right? Well, on that day, I'm coming to sign my contract to teach. John Wirtz is walking up those stairs towards Sullivan Gym, so you can picture exactly what I'm talking about. And he looks up to me, and goes, "Chico," because that's my nickname. Yeah. "You ran track when you were in high school, didn't you?" And I said, "Well, yes, sir, I did. Would you like to be the track coach?" I said, "Yes, sir," because I never said no to him in my life. You never, I mean, I always say yes, sir, to
He was Coach the AD Wirtz. At that
he
time?
He was the athletic director. Yeah. That was my interview for being head coach of track and field at St. Ignatius, and I've been coaching it for 40 years.
Jeez.
That's how I got the job.
So Ignatius has been your only employer.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's fine. It's good.
By the way, I'd like to cover two things before our hour is up, and we're going to go a little over an hour for those of you who are listening. Your charity game of 1968, was that your senior year or your
right.
junior year? Senior year.
The 68 game was my senior year.
Okay.
We were there 67 also, yes. but I wasn't the starter. Frank Gusick was the starter.
I remember
went on
Frank,
to
sure.
Captain.
Yeah, from Garfield Heights.
Right. Bo Schembechler's first captain at Michigan.
Really?
Was Frank Gusick.
Really?
Yeah.
And so you replaced him.
Right.
The next year.
He was pretty
you
good.
Go to the charity game, 1968, you tie John F. Kennedy, 14-0, you score a touchdown.
Right.
And that was in a terrible, terrible day. Steady rain, right. muddy. And that was the last charity game as we know it.
Right.
The next 2 years, we turned it into a doubleheader, trying to get the attendance back up, because the attendance had gone down to, by your senior year, that year went down to like 17,000,
mm-hmm.
and said, we got to get that back up. Well, the doubleheader concept did not work, and so that lasted two more years, and then the charity game became the Senate championship game,
right.
and played at John Marshall or someplace.
Right.
Anyway, you have seen all these changes. What are your views on you know, the end of the charity game, too bad the end of a tradition that lasted about 35 years. And
right.
How did you deal with that when you watched it, watched that era end?
When I was in high school, mm-hmm. There was no playoffs, state
right.
playoffs.
Yes.
There was the AP poll.
Yeah.
United Press had mm-hmm. had a
That's
poll
right.
too.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember being in Cleveland, we really didn't pay much attention to that. It seemed like it was going to be somebody from mm-hmm. another county. It seemed
sure.
like, you know, Ken McKinley or Maslin was
right.
going to win it or some other place.
Mm-hmm.
The Great Benedictine teams and the Cathedral Latin teams, they were great. Sure. I don't think they hardly ever got ranked.
And I remember why that happened. Is because all the little towns, every little radio station, every little newspaper was an AP member, and they all voted in the AP poll. Here in Cleveland, all the TV and radio stations were AP subscribers, and none of them voted in the polls. They had
oh.
no interest in it. This was a major league city. They didn't even vote.
Oh.
And the only reason Benedictine got voted the state champion in 1957 is because Ed Shea at the Plain Dealer called all the TV and radio stations and said, "Can I vote for you?" And so he stuffed the ballot box.
Wow.
And got Benedictine voted state champion in 1957.
Wow.
Anyway.
I didn't know that.
That was in my book. You didn't read my book.
I didn't read that. I didn't read that one.
Anyway.
I didn't read that part.
But anyway, that's how these playoffs were the savior for the, let's say, the for high school football.
Right. But my point.
Yes.
I'm going to go back to my point.
Yes.
When I was in high school in the 60s, and I can remember my brothers going all the way through, we hardly paid attention at all to those polls.
Because our schools were never involved.
We didn't care.
Oh,
what did we care? We cared, hey, we're going to be there on Turkey Day. We're trying to get to the charity game.
So that was your state championship.
That was everything.
Yes.
That was where on the field you're finding a championship. You're not getting voted on by some poll. You were going to go head the chance to go head to head to be a champion. And that's what motivated people in Cleveland. Some poll. We'll never play those teams, and who are they? Who cares? But we wanted to make it to that Thanksgiving Day game, and there was going to be this great crowd, and there would be some team at the end of that game to be named number one, and that was real. That was real football. Mythical poll.
And the Plain Dealer at that time covered the charity game like the Super Bowl.
Oh, it was tremendous coverage.
Yes.
Headlines, major stories, several writers.
Yes.
It wasn't just one writer covering it. There were several
writers
covering it.
The whole staff
one,
yes.
Yeah. And so that to Cleveland was big.
Yes.
I think the playoffs may have contributed to some of that, some of the demise maybe too,
Yeah, because
they started in the early 70s.
73 or so.
Something like that, where it was only like a team from each region or something.
Four teams,
So that may have, but I don't know. Certainly you
but
know better.
But everything changed there.
Right.
Yes, and your concept of the passing game. Did you see other schools, other coaches emulating what you did? Success usually breeds copycats.
I think teams saw that the need to have a 6-play touchdown drive as opposed to 15. If you get one or two of those a game, you're a darn good football team because there's penalties, there's things that happen. But where you get that bing, bing, whoa, hit the big one and got it down there. That's football. Now you have, you're going to score some points. Mm-hmm. You can come from behind. And it's exciting. The crowds love seeing it. They really enjoy seeing it.
And now let's look at your genesis, your genes. You came from a quarterback passing family. Tell us about that. Your grandfather, your father. Can you reach back into the memory for those?
Well, I don't know if they passed a whole lot.
But your grandfather and your father were both college quarterbacks.
No. Let's be honest. Let's. I got to get the record straight here now.
Okay.
My great grandfather in Birmingham, Alabama.
Great grandfather.
No, I'm sorry. My grandfather.
Yes.
I'm getting all. My grandfather.
Birmingham.
Birmingham, Alabama was on the state championship football team, Birmingham, Alabama. I believe he played offensive line.
Oh.
He was kind of a bigger guy. For those days.
Yes.
Big back then, if you were 6 foot, you were a man,
Yeah.
And so he was on a state championship team in 1918. My father quarterbacked a state championship team at Hammond, Indiana in 1937, and that was the single wing. So as glorious as it sounds to be the quarterback, you call the plays and you blocked a lot. That's basically it. I think he scored 2 touchdowns the whole year. But he had to call the plays. Coaches were not allowed to call plays back then. So my dad would go over to the head coach's house 2 times a week and sat there all night going over what plays to call and what situations. So I don't know how much homework he got done, but that was what he did. So he won a state championship, and so I take pride that I didn't physically play a state championship, but at least I coached a few.
Well, now. So the Kyle family moved around. You were in Alabama.
Right.
Is that where your immigrant grandparents settled?
Actually, I think they settled in Tennessee originally. Right. And then moved to Alabama because the steel mills.
Following the steel mills.
Right, steel mills.
And then Hammond, steel mills again?
Yeah, my dad was, the GI Bill.
Yeah.
But he had started to have a family, so he was working the inland steel, doing all the things in the furnace and all that. Everything was going on. Mm-hmm. And at night, when he would go to night school at Illinois Technical Engineering, mm-hmm. whatever, and got his engineering degree and got a better offer in Cleveland, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
And so packed the family in the car and off we went to Cleveland, Ohio.
So you were
Republic Steel. It was Republic Steel at the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you were born in Hammond.
Born in Hammond, Indiana. At 5 years old, we moved to Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
And been here ever since.
Okay. Here it is, the Chuck Kyle story, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure that you found it interesting. He's always been a delight to talk to, and he's still at the apex of his coaching career. We'll see how St. Ignatius does here in the fall of 2013. But that's where we are. Maybe someday, after a few more state championships, we'll have to update your story.
If we win a few more state championships, Dan, I'll gladly do that. Believe me, I'd gladly.
Okay.
We all know that's, who knows? The ball bounces funny.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Thank you.